You're listening to Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Ender, Chris Triplett, Chris McFeely, and Brian Kilby.
Listening to Fanboy Versus this week is Fanboy Versus Brightest Day. So obviously this week we're going to be talking about Brightest Day. We're also going to be talking about some of the stuff that came out. I've got a feeling that we probably all read the same stuff. So it's probably going to be an in-depth discussion of the few comics that we did read. In the news this week, there's nothing, so we'll move on.
Absolutely nothing.
How can a week go by and there's no news?
The most news I saw was that some big comics pirate site got shut down.
That's good.
Huh.
Yeah. I agree.
So we'll move on to what we read, and since Brian, I guess, is on the short list this week, we'll start with Brian.
Let's see here. I finally caught up with Amazing Spider-Man. Last week I was around issue 614. I read 16 issues this week.
Wow, that's wow.
Were they the best 16 comics you've ever read?
They're some of the 16 best comics I've read in a long time. Yeah,
there you go.
The 16 best comics you read this week.
Yes. Chris didn't read Amazing Spider-Man 630, Chris Triplett, so I'm not going to go too far into spoilers. But as the cover said, this issue featured the Lizard. Really not a whole lot to spoil. I mean, Kurt Connors becomes the Lizard. I mean, imagine that.
No, really?
But just leading up to this, it's the Gauntlet, so they're bringing back and reinventing to an extent. Not John Byrne reinventing, but they're making these characters relevant again. And I've been really impressed with what they've been able to do, especially the reinvention of the Rhino.
Those have been some of the best Spidey comics in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, the Rhino started out great. There was a new Rhino in town, and he's, you know, wanting to basically ascend into being the Rhino by defeating the old Rhino. And
he's like a Klingon or something. He has to get his honor by beating him in battle or something.
Yes.
Crazy like that.
So Rhino's got his life together, everything. Spider-Man's like, let me handle this. Rhino's like, okay, you know, because he's in love. He has a wife, or he's in a relationship. And he said, for her, I can be anything, even a coward. So Rhino says, okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. Oh, she gets killed. So this new Rhino,
fact that it wasn't a two-parter really made that sting all the more, because it looked like it was just going to be a one-shot story.
Yes.
And then it came back a month or two later, and it was like, no, don't go the way that it looked. No, oh goddamn, you did.
So yeah, you have this new Rhino who's like this new impossibly powerful Rhino. Obviously, he's going to kill. No, Rhino kicks his ass.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. So Rhino is now relevant again, and I'm happy. So way to go.
That's you know these writers will give Dan Slott, Fred Van Lent, Joe Kelly wrote the Rhino issues. They'll give the old guys their props, you know? They're not going to off somebody to casually bring in some new version for their new vision of Spider-Man in this new post-One More Day world. They will do the old guys right.
Which it's a good philosophy that they have, you know, with like Dan Slott at the helm of the Spider books. I've been happy. I've been very happy. And I wasn't behind so much because I didn't enjoy them. I'm just behind because if you're a month behind in most books, that's not that bad. But in Spider-Man, it's like three issues a month.
It's easy to get behind.
Yeah, it's easy.
I think it was the Rhino one was particularly good because, like, last year or the year before, the Rhino was just this generic whipping boy.
Yes.
That got, if somebody needed to beat somebody up or if they had a big gathering of supervillains somewhere, I think it was just a weird coincidence, but it was always the Rhino.
Yes, it is.
And they made a joke out of it in Punisher War Journal, I think it was, eventually. Where they were like, dude, I've been beaten up 73 times this week. or whatever it was, and he was actually in a wheelchair or something. He had gone through so much crap in the past year. I'm pretty sure it was a coincidence that it kept happening to him, and Matt Fraction just jumped on the idea. It was like a different character in these Joe Kelly issues, though, and I'm not complaining about it.
It's rare
that they actually play up the fact that the Rhino is Russian at all. It's usually he's usually just that. Well, you basically imagine like that slow American guy from the 90s cartoon when you think of the Rhino, you know.
I get a real Gladiator, you know, Daredevil vibe from.
It's just
Rhino.
A little thing, but he doesn't use. I don't think he uses contractions the way Kelly's written him. So everything that he says is always very slow and deliberate.
Yes.
And it is not contracted. It's just a very little touch. But, I mean, it's a whole new side of the Rhino. It's just, those were some really, really good issues. Honestly,
absolutely.
I couldn't say enough good things about those issues. Not that the rest of it hasn't been good, too. I've really been looking forward to this Lizard story.
Yeah, me too. I love the Lizard. I really, I love the play between Spider-Man and Black Cat. I mean, you know, it's
friends with benefits.
They're friends with their FWBs. I mean, awesome. it's a rehash of like old stuff, but it's a good rehash. I enjoy it thoroughly. I mean,
and she doesn't want to have anything to do with him unless he's wearing the mask.
Yeah, I mean, this is stuff we haven't gotten in 20 years, and you know,
anything.
I know a whole generation of comic fans. We get what you mean, Chris. A whole generation of comic fans. This is new to them, and it's awesome. It's great. It's the best Spider-Man comic in our lifetime.
It's very good. I mean, I can't say anything better than everybody should be reading Spider-Man now, because you're going to miss out if you don't.
Unfortunately, if you jump on Spider-Man now, you're about to go headlong into this one moment in time storyline that's coming up in a month or two, which is almost guaranteed to stink.
I don't know. There are things that...
Joe Quesada's writing it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind.
It might not necessarily be what we think it's going to be. I mean,
what do you think it's going to be?
Well,
the mystic one. Yeah, because I am not as hopeful.
it looks
really
to me
bad. Then it won't be as bad as I expect it to be.
Maybe it'll end with Cap dying.
What?
I don't know. Captain America dying. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah. I mean, for some reason, they love killing off Captain America for whatever reason. They managed to do it twice in a matter of a few years.
Yeah.
And once they just never even referenced it again.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So just Spider-Man this week? 16?
Spider-Man,
was that enough for you?
No, let's see here. I also read Brightest Day, which we'll go into, and Batman and Robin number 12, which, looking at it, I already read this, but no. No,
yeah.
I didn't.
I like your response last night. Read this first. It's not the issue I thought I read or something.
Yeah,
he was like freaking out or something.
Yeah. How do we want to present this? I mean, there's a reveal at the end. Let's not blow the
reveal.
Well, do we want to leave that to up? Are we spoiling this? I mean, it's this week's comics. We're not spoiling for next week. If you've not,
we gotta talk about it. Just say spoiler tag.
Spoiler tag.
Spoiler hashtag.
If you have not read Batman and Robin number 12, please pause this podcast, resume reading the comic, and
come back.
Yeah. So, as we saw, Damian's spine had been rebuilt, and some sort of mind control device had been implanted into him. So in this issue, Slade Wilson, a.k.a. Slade Wilson, Deathstroke, the Terminator. They didn't call him that anymore, but you know.
But they should.
is in control of Damian's body, and his intention is to kill Dick Grayson, Batman. Well, no, obviously he doesn't. Dick tries to subdue Damian and just ends up torturing him, which the biofeedback somehow miraculously harms Slade because of his enhanced senses. It made no sense, but it was still cool to see Dick kind of torment Damian. Some other stuff happened. You know, they go into the deepest, darkest recesses of the cave. they find a cowl which has been strung up, and Dick's like, "Well, let's call the Justice League. Something's going on." Then he at the end of the issue, there's a big reveal. Abron Sexton has all these deaths that have been happening. They've been jokes, and Abron Sexton is the Joker.
Bum bum bum
bum bum bum.
Whoa!
Yeah. So
saw that coming.
Yeah. So I figured that's what it was, and I'm happy to be vindicated in that. I knew it wasn't going to be Bruce Wayne. So it's the Joker. I did see that coming, but I'm not dissatisfied.
See, that's part of my problem with it. It's like, on the one hand, I was like, I'm disappointed that it is the Joker. Like, I want something even crazier than the Joker. Like, maybe make it be like Damon grown up or something crazy like that, you know? But on the other hand, it's like, it's the freaking Joker. That's awesome.
It is a freaking Joker. You know, we did see that. One thing I did like in this issue, my favorite part, was not the reveal. It was Talia is growing another Damien. To replace this Damien, because he is, of course, now corrupted by Dick Grayson.
Now, my question about that is does that mean that Damien is something like that? This is her second offense?
That's the question. He could be.
Because he showed up out of nowhere, this son that Bruce didn't know he had. I mean, maybe she tried to do this the first time, didn't work, and she's doing it again.
I mean, it's possible. In the Elseworlds. What was the title of the Elseworld? What was it? I have it. I've read it. I just can't remember.
Son of the Bat?
Was that what it was called?
And it's like something demon or something. I can't remember what it was called. Son of the Demon, maybe?
Demon of the Bat. Bat of the Sun. Bat of the Demon.
Demon Bat Son.
All in the family.
I mean, you know. Well, the story that's now it's been retconned into being canon.
Son of the Demon.
Is that it? Son of the Demon?
I looked it up.
Awesome.
Very good.
Well, you find out, Talia and Bruce hit it off. Bada bing, bada boom. She's pregnant. Damon was introduced into the regular DC canon, when Grant Morrison started writing Batman. And, I was like, oh, no, that's heretical. But, no, it's actually been pretty awesome. But since then, Damien just sort of showed up out of nowhere. It's possible that Damien was a clone, but I doubt it. If they do go in this whole Damien's a clone direction, maybe he's the clone of Bruce, and maybe Bruce.
He might not have to be a clone. I mean, he might just be a test tube baby.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I assumed. Made. I mean, I assumed that she'd managed to procure a sample from Bruce.
I'd say that would be too hard for her to do.
No.
No, I mean,
for God's sakes, her last name is Head.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. The way Morrison recalled that graphic novel wasn't the way it happened. Bruce said that he recalled being drugged and forced to participate in a eugenics experiment or something, which isn't how Son of the Demon went. But if that's actually how it went, then, got down on there. And
given their superior genes, being forced into a situation like that would be a eugenics experiment. It's a very dry way of looking at it.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, that's probably how Ra's al Ghul would have looked at it.
Yeah.
He probably watched.
Yeah. Had it on a monitor, yes. Very, very good.
Work the shaft, daughter. Very good. Do you like that, detective?
To think I thought of you as a son. What?
Oh, no.
But, yeah.
This has gone off on a very bad path.
Yeah. So, it's possible. But, I'm not expecting it to go in that direction. But who knows?
I was thinking that the reason that was placed in it is when Grant Morrison's done with Batman, whatever writer comes in next, if they don't want Damien there, that's their way, that's their ticket to get rid of him.
I mean, I would hope that they would do that. I don't really want anyone but Grant Morrison writing him.
He's a clone! Oh my gosh!
Somebody put a goblin glider through him.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, yeah, that's, then I read Brightest Day. We can get into that later. I've got a couple other books to read, but I haven't yet.
So I'll well, I guess I could.
It's a little musical interlude there.
I read Red Robin 12.
Oh shit! I didn't realize Red Robin 12 came out.
Yep.
It's the final issue of Yost's run, isn't it?
Oh, I need to read that. But go ahead.
You see what happens when we record on Saturday instead of Sunday?
It was off our whole pace, I guess. But yeah,
I'm not.
Oh yes, so Red Robin, of course, the showdown between Tim and Roz, someone who really has not a lot of business fighting Roz, but he does anyway.
You mean Raish, course, right?
Whatever.
Yeah. Ooh, geek slap fight.
Continue.
Oh, look at you. Oh, he's run off now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, JD. Come back. Come back.
Joe would have been doing, like, JD's a moron. He can't pronounce anything. Anyway, so the difference is Tim has friends, of course. Which I guess ninjas can be friends, but whatever.
Ninjas can be more than friends.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Tim, through the plan, and anyway, as the entire, like, Teen Titans and God and everybody come in to help out. So he has this amazing showdown, and which is pretty actually epic, and still loses, which is pretty cool, even though he wins, because apparently Tim is now in charge of Wayne Enterprises for about half a second before he tries to die.
I thought you were going to say the League of Shadows.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
Are in charge of Wayne Enterprises, so of which the really great part is you know, the climax, Tim gets kicked out the window by Raish, and he of course Tim Dick swoops in and grabs him out of the air and saves him, and back at the mansion, Damian's all you know, Tim's talking about how he's, you know, in charge of Wayne Enterprises now, and Damien's like, yeah, and don't think that's going to last, because I've got lawyers already working on that. So that was a nice moment, but anyway, so there you go. And there was something about Raish talking about Tim being a worthy predecessor now, so anyway, I don't know where that's going to go, but there you go. And of course, it
Tim
looks like
it. Tim didn't take any time to just rub in that he was, in fact, totally right all along, and Bruce is still alive.
He did take, I think, a few moments
Tim Drake's not really. He doesn't. It's a good thing that he's not the vindictive kind.
I told you I wasn't crazy. God.
You can see them just doing the whole thing through the caves and from Batman and Robin, with him just hanging on his shoulder, poking him in the neck. Told you. Listen to me.
Listen to the Robin that didn't kill the other. Try to kill the other Robin.
Yeah.
But he, and yeah, there's discussion about, you know, of course, the costume's been altered, and now it's really his, and now he's really Red Robin, and wow.
So he's not done being Red Robin. Is he going to continue?
Going to be. He's going to continue being Red Robin now.
Wow, because I'd heard about issue 12, issue 13, there's going to be a new Red Robin's, what I heard. Ooh. But this was months ago, so maybe that changed.
I don't think there's any point taking Tim out of the costume. I mean, you've already got Damian headlining another book as Robin, then not much point conflating the issue.
Well, they seem to allude that whoever was Red Robin when the book started, maybe they would either die or something would happen where they would quit being Red Robin by issue 12. And then by issue 13, when the new creative team came in, it was going to be a whole new character.
That would almost give you no reason to read the book.
Yeah, I know. That was the crazy thing. That's why I never even picked up the book from the start, because I heard that. It worked against me.
He's not Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's true. Well done,
detective. He regenerates. That would be awesome.
We're tying back into the whole finding Bruce at the end of that. So... So that's Red Robin.
Return of Bruce Wayne kicks off next week now.
God, I'm so excited. I should not be so excited, but I am.
No, but Cave Bat.
God, that's going to be still awesome.
So he's going to have stones in the shape of bats, right? And he's going to be thrown in a cave.
You know he is going to have stones in the shape of bats. Awesome.
That'll be the first page.
If he doesn't, I will be disappointed.
That'll be the first page. A stone will like wind up in the back of some dude, and it'll be in the shape of a bat.
I will be disappointed if that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Anomaly that I read, and I say anomaly because it's anomaly for me, but I couldn't resist the irony, was reading the first issue of War of Superman.
Really?
I picked that up. I want to read it, but I haven't read it yet. But you
read
can talk
it,
about
and I realized that I have not read any of the backstory for it, so I have no idea what's going on.
See, I didn't read it because I'm trying to catch up on backstory. I've literally not read an issue of Superman in about 10 months, but I get them all anyway. I have a subscription.
I'd say it got off to a pretty banging start, explosive beginning, if you will. But
yeah, I see what you did.
Yeah, did you like that? Did you like it? Come on. That's good. I get a point, right? Okay. So, So I'm going to have to go back and read the backstory so I know what the heck's going on. But yes,
but
I did.
You just need to read the new Krypton series rather than any of the other super books.
There's the new Krypton, and then there was like a 3-issue after that that was like the last...
World of New Krypton and Last Stand of New Krypton.
Last Stand of New Krypton, yeah, there's that.
Although, mind you, Last Stand of New Krypton was part of some kind of multi-part crossover with the other superbooks. So.
The regular superbooks, though, they didn't even have Superman in them, so you don't have to read Action or Superman. It was all Mon-El and those two Kryptonians, I think.
Yeah, Nightwing and Flamebird.
Yeah.
Possibility of Superman, super people fighting each other, and the opportunity that they may beat the crap out of each other. That's a great...
And Zod. Oh, I assume Zod's in there somewhere.
I presume Zod is probably going to die by the end of this.
Probably. Yeah. If he hasn't already.
How many Zods can we have?
Sorry?
How many Zods can we honestly have? I'm tired of Zod.
Well,
as
we only
many
have
as we
one.
Want.
We've had, what, 4? Like, just post-crisis?
Pre-infinite crisis. Post, I don't know. I can think of at least 2.
We had the Zod from the fan. Was it? Did he come from the Phantom Zone back in the John Byrne run? Where
not sure.
Clark actually, or Superman actually put them to death.
The John Byrne stuff?
Yeah, we had the Zod who was actually a human that was allergic to the yellow sun. He drew power from the red sun. So then we had the Zod that was from the parallel Phantom Zone projection Krypton.
I don't remember that one.
So, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so this is like the, what, 4th or 5th Zod that we've had. It's just
yeah,
silly.
But this is the actual good Zod. I mean, think about all the crap you just said, Brian. This is just this is just Zod with the powers of Superman. That's all we really needed.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Much like the way we just have the proper Supergirl.
He's a Zod that has the control of his people, a whole world of Superman, and he can turn them against Superman. That's all we need. Not some dude in a stupid suit, not some projection, not some...
I think the originals
crappy John Byrne something.
Dude, don't diss John Byrne back in the 80s. 80s John, 80s Byrne was awesome.
Bizarro.
80s John Byrne had a terrible tendency to...
Bizarro was...
Edges and then
Bizarro.
Dandruff Bizarro.
The last page.
Now, repeat that, McFeely. Sorry.
Sorry.
80s Joan Byrne had a terrible tendency to tell a story over 21 pages without explaining anything, and then fit all the explanation into the second half of page 22.
Yeah.
And it was over.
I love.
Well, it's really quite simple, Lois. The dust from Bizarro's skin cured your sister's blindness.
I was going to mention that.
Sweet.
Yeah, that was a failing. Okay, sorry. JD, you can go ahead.
Okay, so that's what I read. Let's go to McFeely.
Okay. Well, I read Brightest Day, so I guess we're saving Brightest Day for last.
Did that thing.
Literally the only other book this week I had was Secret Six. I had the Transformers books, but I don't like to talk about them on here. So yeah, it really was just Secret Six. I had very, very little this week, you know, compared to my usual plethora. So who else read Secret Six? Come on.
I want to read it. I have it, but I got to read the other issues first.
Did you read it?
At least you're doing that.
Yeah.
Brian?
No, I didn't.
I love the cover.
I had 16 issues of Amazing Spider-Man. I will read it next week.
I'll permit that. I will permit that excuse. Because of what people thought.
Is, oh.
Yes, this was. I've had some people telling me this week actually that they got on. They've tried out Secret Six as a consequence of me going on about it here as well. In addition to Triplets, so it's good that people are reading more Secret Six because they should be. This issue is the third part of the current story, Cats in the Cradle, in which Catman is searching for his missing son. And it's going all Liam Neeson intaking on everybody. But this issue is differentiated from the others by being intercut with flashbacks to Catman's childhood, which is the sort of stuff, you know, even though this character has been running around since, what, the 40s? It's the sort of stuff we've never seen before. And without going into too many details, really, after reading some of these, I've come to see Catman as surprisingly well-adjusted. In the face of his upbringing. I really just, it's a funny little thing about him as a child, but I really like the way that he's a chubby little child.
As well adjusted as a man can be who dresses like a cat.
Face of this, that is well adjusted. But I like
did
that
he drive around in a little cat car too, so there you go.
Yeah, he did have a lot of... He was just Cat Batman. He had a lot of stuff like that.
I'm sorry, continue.
And of course, the Secret Six, the other members of the Six, even though they're not the Secret Six, really, because it's there's like two other things going on in this, which is where the ones that you would call Catman's, air quotes, friends, Scandal, Ragdoll, and Deadshot, with Black Alice along with them, are following him to try and rein him in, while Bane, ever the businessman, and Jeanette, just not interested, have gone and recruited four other supervillains to go and carry out a job. And they just appear on two pages of the issue, just to remind us that they're out there, but it's pretty nasty. And then the second half of the issue, after most of the flashbacks are done, is Catman knocking the hell out of an Afrikaans mutant, metahuman named Loki. And it is some seriously brutal stuff. Like, I just put the issue down and just had to sort of take a deep breath after I finished reading it. But it's consistently strong. So I think, it, once again, the Deadshot and Ragdoll kind of steal the sideshow of it, you know. I was describing the scene last issue, how Catman pinned that guy to the banister and killed him. But Deadshot's checking out the body, you know, and he describes, I don't know what normal people think, but this is f***ed up, right? It's like, yeah, it is. And then Black Alice, Ragdoll is just not grasping the situation at all and thinks that everyone is a little bit sad because they must be hungry. Stuff like that. And Black Alice is Black Alice channels Dr. Occult's powers to try and help them to find Catman before he can do these things. But she's not having much luck, and she sort of starts to lose control of her emotions as a consequence of channeling such incredible powers. And she basically, you know, loudly announces her romantic intentions towards Ragdoll. And then she and Scandal start fighting because she's got these powers warping her mind and making her think that Scandal is after Ragdoll. And Ragdoll, just as they start fighting, she channels Etrigan's powers. she and Scandal.
Does she rhyme?
Let's see. Gone, gone, O form of man, arise the demon Estrajan. And then Ragdoll just comments as they start fighting, it's not my fault. I'm just irresistible, I suppose.
Okay.
So yeah, in the face of all of that, really, you know, chucklesome, genuinely funny stuff, like you've got Catman, literally, well, not quite literally, but as good as ripping a bloke's spine out. So yeah, it is some you know, joking aside, it is some really rough stuff. It is some of the roughest stuff Secret Six has, and it is what, you know, they're calling it the Catman story, and it is. And the next issue is the final part of this four-parter, and you know, if you're not reading Secret Six now, at least wait. Well, what you should be doing is you should be going and picking up the last three issues and starting with this story. But start with issue 23 then, after this four-parter ends, so you can jump in at the start of something and get on this book. That is my Secret Six rant for the week.
The two panels or the two pieces out of this that just really got to me out of like the flashback sequence was one where he's like holding the stuffed animal that you can tell he's manipulated into like his memory, which is like
the doll.
Wow. And then on the very next page, when, you know, his dad's obviously beating up his mother and you see him reaching for the rifle and you're like, oh no.
Oh. Yeah, you can see where it's going. Yeah.
They didn't even have to go there. They didn't even have to show the rest. Like, you knew where that went. Mm. Beautiful.
The stuffed animal starts talking to him as well. Basically, yeah, to a bit more detail, like the first flashback in the book is whenever Catman recalls how his big game father, a big ball sheet bastard of a man, brought him out to a game preserve and made him shoot a wounded and chained up lion? Yeah, a lion, while the cub was sitting there suckling on it. So then later on, when he's holding this little stuffed animal, he looks down and he just sees this little stuffed cub with half of its head blown away. And it looks up and it talks to him. And he says, your dad's going to kill her, you know. It's a family of killers. Like you killed me.
It's way messed up. Awesome.
And messed up does not even begin to describe it. It is excellent stuff. I've said it before, I will say it again. Secret Six is, you know, I mean, you know, maybe I'll read a DC book of a month that might be more exciting, or it might just have more stuff in it that will make me go whoa or whatever. But DC is the most Secret Six is the most consistently good book DC puts out. It never takes out holiday. It is consistently on form.
I think the tendency is, as far as even with within the comic books, is to only show the hero stories. Mm. And I think it's interesting to have a series in which you're having to, even if it's in an anti-hero way, you're trying to still have a main character storyline following people that are otherwise villains and seeing how they interact not only with each other, but with the world, with other people. And it's just damned fascinating. Even talking about like the two-page spread with Bane, I mean, there's a lot of character interaction that goes on between this, you know, put-together group of four that I thought was far more interesting than you get to see in any other, you know, quote-unquote hero comic.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a range of personalities that are all just, I mean, it's like, you know, like in the scene that you mentioned there, what's the name of the character? I mean, I don't think I've heard of most of the characters that were in the van with them. What's the guy's name? Dwarf Star. Never heard of him. I'm going to assume he's an atom body. but, you know, they just have, you know, they're chatting as they go on their way, and he wants to know how many women Bane has killed. And Bane just responds, I do not keep count. And it's like, you know, two men of ill repute, but so different even then. I mean, but that's what defines the Secret Six is how different all their attitudes are to what they do. You know, it's like even Deadshot says. Deadshot's looking over this hideously mutilated corpse, and I don't know what the normal people think, because even Deadshot himself knows that he's not normal. And it's just so good. It's just so good. It's good.
Can't wait to read it.
If you are not reading Secret Six, you must.
You must.
So yeah, end it. Okay, and so we'll end up with Triplet.
I think you've already covered what I read. Brightest Day and Batman and Robin number 12, and technically the first page of the new Buffy comic. I'm not a good comic fan. It's a trap.
You get to lead off Brightest Day, sir. Brightest Day.
Hey. Speaking of not being a good comics fan, Triplet and I were walking through his comic shop, and I'm like, man, I hate this place. You know, my problem with the shop that he goes to is it's nice and it's clean and it's like kind of welcoming, but it has no character.
I don't know where this is going?
No character. No, it has no character whatsoever.
Oh,
it's like you know. The comic shop we used to go to, you know, there was a sign on the floor, don't step here, you'll fall through. it was in the guy's house. He lived in his comic shop. I loved going to that place, but Chris's comic shop just doesn't really do it for me.
Well, you have to take what you can get, Ron.
That's true. Okay, go ahead with Brightest Day. I'm sorry for the aside.
Just a little aside.
Well, Brightest Day is... Brightest Day number one. It's the continuation of Brightest Day number zero.
Yeah, it is.
I want one of those white lantern rings.
What?
I want a white lantern ring like a dead man. Or I guess he just calls himself Boston Brand now, or how does that work?
I want him to call him Alive Man in the comic.
They should.
They haven't done that yet.
I'm sure they'll be doing it by the end of Brightest Day. Someone will sarcastically call him Alive Man.
Yeah, they could just call him White Lantern or whatever.
Yeah, okay, so he's like the only guy that was brought back that still has his white ring. He's the only one that still has it, and he's wondering why. And you get the little segment at the beginning where Carol and Sinestro and Hal find the White Lantern, and you get the little, nobody can lift it, you know, and Sinestro's like, can you? And you think, oh, Hal's my... going to be able to lift a bit. No, he does not.
No.
So, who's going to be? Is it Alive Man?
Probably.
With his White Lantern ring? What's going to happen when he lifts it? We don't find that out in this issue.
Well, my favorite part in the whole thing is when Aquaman tried to summon the sea, you know, creatures.
Yeah, I got to say, the Aquaman scene, I think, was the strongest one of the book.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And that's weird because it's Aquaman. No, what am I saying? No offense. It's freaking Aquaman. So
go ahead.
It reads like an Aquaman issue, like an Aquaman comic. You know, like it's his book almost. Because like we were getting to the point where you know the dude and you know the I guess it's like the fish. He's cleaning the fish and everything. I was like, who is that guy? It's like I think that's Black Manta, but I'm not sure. You know, it's an Aquaman villain. So there you go. I'm done.
Aquaman summoned the dead sea monsters or the sea creatures. That was great, you know.
Yeah, see, I mean, I wasn't sure what was going on there. I mean, first of all, I loved it that he did it in replete with the old Super Friends sound effect as well, like onomatopoeia on the page. But then the tentacle, he summons a giant squid to take down some pirates, and the tentacle bursts out of the ocean. And I look at the tentacle, and I see there's a chunk out of it.
Yeah. Several.
And I just, you know, I just thought, well, that's odd. I'm not sure what's going on there.
Yeah, I thought it'd been in a fight or something.
Yeah, I turned the page to the giant double page spread of the squid, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I don't know, I must have been really slow when I was reading this, because I still wasn't getting it. I was looking at it, and I was seeing there was chunks of it missing, but I wasn't getting. And then
it's like Mara had to say it's dead before.
Yeah. I turned the page and the top panel was their horrified expressions. And I'm like, What are you so freaking horrified about? It's doing what you saw. Oh! And then it was like, oh! And then it sank in after a moment. And then, you know, then a dead shark comes flying out of the water and takes down the last guy as well. So that's pretty horrifying. And it's immediately very intriguing because, you know, these guys, these people, it basically sets up the whole premise of the thing very interesting, which is these guys are not just back. There's something more here. Or are they even back if all he can bring up is dead sharks? Have they truly crossed over all the way again? And it, I think just sets it up great. I don't give a toss about Firestorm, I have to say.
Yeah, me neither.
And we don't ever look like, you know, Boston Brand. You know, he can't stop him. He can't help him or do anything. He's just watching.
He seems to be our POV character.
I mean, he's like wanting to know what he needs to do, what the ring wants him to do, but he can't do anything. He can't even help that little girl with that, you know, freaky pirate that, God.
Yeah. And the, but it wasn't that he, it wasn't just that he, like, he wasn't able to, it's like the ring actually inhibited him. It wasn't that he couldn't reach out and touch or anything. It's like the ring actually stopped him from moving.
Yeah.
She's like, what does the ring want for him? Why, you know, it's not like he couldn't have done any of this while he was there. You know, basically, it's all terribly intriguing and, like, and genuinely intriguing. It's not fake mystery. I'm intrigued. Not so much about Firestorm. I have nothing against Firestorm, genuinely, but it's like, it's the conflict between these two feels very artificial, if you know what I mean. It's like, yes, I am sorry your girlfriend is dead, Jason, but Ronnie didn't do it, okay? So stop.
So their conflict feels forced, much like the two characters. Eh? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They're forced together. They don't want to be...
Oh, I see what you did there. No, well, could you not have said that there was some kind of fission between the characters or something?
Gosh.
Some kind of nuclear pun, for goodness sake. But yeah, I mean, you know, I guess it's replicating the old pattern of, you know, jock with nerd inside his head telling him how it works. But I feel, I mean, the conflict between them is not born of their clashing personalities. It's because Jason is honked off that his girlfriend is dead. And it's like, yeah, I'm sorry your girlfriend's dead, Jason, but please stop taking it out on Ronnie. It wasn't him. It was a Black Lantern. So stop being such a dick. Seriously?
Yeah, I don't see the their story.
You weren't crying. I'm talking, you know, he's like, here, he's, you died and the Firestorm Matrix fell from the sky and hit me. He says, well, I didn't catch you bitching about it when you were Firestorm with your girlfriend. Shut up, you moaner. So I don't care. But then there's the atoms popped up, so, you know, maybe it'll be a little bit lively there. And I find I'm also not too bothered about Martian Manhunter yet. But that's just because maybe...
Well, he hasn't done anything.
Yeah. I mean, he's trying to revitalize Mars. There is that one very interesting panel. He gets hit with this telepathic flash of something that never happened, which is a flash of him killing the scientist who accidentally summoned him to Earth. And there's a woman in the background and who was never there before, so he sets out to try and find out who she is. But when he gets hit with this vision, he does the old standby of, you know, he inadvertently shapeshifts into some form, and he's taken on his Black Lantern form.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, it's, I mean, are they truly back? You know, they seem to have, they don't seem to have crossed over all the way yet. And then I'm still quite intrigued by the Hawks story as well. Well, I must say, I don't know how dramatic the revelation that the villain is Hathset is.
Ooh. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, it's pretty cool. I mean, but it's like, you know, I would have been more interested if it was the Gentleman Ghost.
Yeah, that would be awesome too.
Just to pluck a Hawkman villain out of thin air.
He could have been on, like, on a dead horse or something. It would have been awesome.
That would have been pretty sweet, actually. But he was doing that for Injustice Society. So it's just that I mean, Hathset is the perennial Hawkman, Hawkgirl. But I see what they're doing with it, but. No, I'm still quite intrigued by that one, though, because they have some sort of violet light connection there as well. It's going to tie into the mythos. But no, overall, better than the first issue. Better than Number Zero. Much better than Number Zero. Number Zero was just a selection of trailers that didn't really tell us anything about where the stories were going to go. That kicks it off in vigorous fashion. Yes, I really enjoyed that.
And Black Manta at the end?
Yes,
there he was also there.
Yeah. It was really Black Manta. I wasn't sure when I was reading it. I thought maybe just people were going crazy and cutting people up in a fish shop. So,
did you read Brightest Day number one, Ender?
No, I haven't.
Didn't.
I haven't been able to find it.
Really?
I got to the comic shop late this week and last week. I'm like way behind in everything. I can't find anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you get anything read this week?
The last thing I read was New Mutants.
Oh, really? Did you like it?
I thought it was amazing. I loved it. I can't get enough of Second Coming. The whole thing.
So I know you've talked about it in the past, but is this one of the books that I should be reading that I'm not?
Yes, this is one of the books you should be reading here now, especially if you know anything of your X-Men or old X-Men or I don't know, man. I mean, like, little spoiler. Well, big spoiler alert here. I just read a comic where Warlock killed Cameron Hodge and sucked life out of his decapitated head. I don't think it gets any cooler than that, personally. I think I was pretty happy about that.
You haven't read the next Second Coming chapter yet, then, after that?
No, I haven't.
Saying nothing.
Okay. So, now, I will ask, can things still go awry? Is that what I should be worried about in terms of quality? Or?
Well, not so much quality. I mean, you have heard that the big tag for this is that an X-Man is going to die.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, right. That. Yes.
Well, they say it's one of three people, and I get the I'm not going to be happy about whoever it is, but I will say, you know, how much does comic book death mean that I really have to hold it personally? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry.
Particularly
every single one, I believe, of the characters that they put up is the one will die. Has been dead before. I mean, like, it's kind of, I don't know. Do we not want to say who it is on the air? Somebody just tell me.
I don't care.
Well, no, I don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't read it, so I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Okay, all right. What issue is it in? I don't even know what I'm looking for at this point.
It's the next chapter of Second Coming, which is X-Force.
Okay, yeah. I was looking for it today. I couldn't find one. So, did we do Iron Man on the show?
No.
Okay, so we're still going to do Iron Man.
We're
going to
do Iron Man on...
I just came back from Iron Man. I just walked in the door from...
Ooh,
going
fresh emotion.
Yeah, people who will be listening to this later on, go ahead and check out New Soundwave. We will be talking about Iron Man. Probably nothing else.
Yeah.
Iron Man 2, the movie. Not the comic, but the movie.
That's true.
Before we get too far away from comic geeky stuff, I just want to know that let people know that Arnim Zola is going to be in the Captain America movie.
Seriously?
He's been
cast. When was that announced?
According to Geeks of Doom, Toby Jones, I don't know who that is, will play Arnim Zola in the Captain America movie. So take that with whatever. A
Nazi robot man with his face in his tummy.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, I think, keep in mind that this is an opening movie, and it might just be some dude named Arnim Zola who they are threatening to someday have be a Nazi robot dude with his head in his tummy.
True.
That's not impossible.
See, that's
if
how the movie ends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He dies, and then he gets put inside of a robot tummy thing.
Yeah, I mean, Deadpool had his head cut off, and you know, the leader got stuff gooped onto his head, and
now that you've said
you
know, it,
we want to go way back when Billy D. Williams used to be Two-Face for 5 minutes.
That's true. Absolutely,
it doesn't mean it's going to be a big deal.
Hey, yeah, you're probably right. I suppose if they do set the movie during World War II, the way they're saying they will, yeah, it'll probably like. He'll probably be like the Skull Science guy hovering in the background for the movie, and then at the end of it, he'll probably persist where the Skull and Cap appear to die, you know?
Still, he's Arnim Zola, and no one knows who the hell that is, and he's going to be...
I know who it is!
That's kind of awesome.
Hey, one thing I do want to mention on the show before we wrap up, we have a contest going on. It will run through late May. It'll end on May 26th. It's really simple. Just follow us on Twitter at TF Radio or join our Facebook fan page. Go to Facebook.com and look for Radio Free Cybertron. That's just, you know, that's all of us. That's all our shows. We are giving away a few things. Well, you can win a $50 American dollar, so it's not worth anything. Big Bad Toy Store gift certificate. $25 Big Bad Toy Store gift certificate. Or an RC. So you can win. You have the chance to win anyway.
Am I eligible to win?
No. Go to tfradio.net, and we have all of our links there. You can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. It's that easy. Winner will be announced May 26th. Do it. JD, you there? Okay, there's no JD. Hey, guys, I'll wrap up the show. Anything else to talk about before we...
Not that I can think of.
Okay, well,
I think we're good.
One thing next week, one thing I would like to talk about is we talk about comics each week that people should be reading, but we haven't done a show just on stuff that you should be reading. Let's go ahead and try to come up with a couple of good ideas to bring out and just to
like books that we haven't talked about before. Or
well, maybe
like
new stuff to focus on. That
you mean like New Frontier?
No, Chris, that came out like 5 years ago. New stuff, the people, you know, like Secret Six, you know, McFeely's gotten like 3 of us to read Secret Six, or at least 2 of us to read Secret Six that weren't reading it before. Just something that you're reading that you think that the readers out there should be reading, or the listeners should be reading. So, well, for JD Church, I'm Brian Kilby. Chris McFeely, Ender showed up at the end, and Chris Triplett, this has been Fanboy versus something.
This has been Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Ender, Chris Triplett, Chris McFeely, and Brian Kilby. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.